didn't cost you anything at all. So, hi, I got a good praise report from Dave this morning. He texted me and said he was feeling much better. He was able to breathe during the night. So your prayers are effective, and we are celebrating that. And he said, I'm not up to speaking today, but he said, I'll be ready next week if you want me. I'm like, are you kidding me? Of course I do. So he'll be speaking next week for Palm Sunday, but I'm celebrating that he and Judy both are feeling better and stronger. Very grateful for that. So I'm kicking off this month, the Lamb, with a message that God gave me. Woo! I was telling Megan. So after doing the castle last weekend, we had a great time, by the way. God's presence was so strong, and thank you for your kindness to let us all go. And Doug and Ron, I heard you men rocked it here. I mean, I heard it from multiple sources, so I love that. I just love that. But after coming home from the castle, I'm usually wiped out. And anybody who ministers is usually exhausted. It's worth it. So I was kind of, that last Sunday, somebody said, are you speaking next week? I said, no, Dave is, and I'm really glad because I need the week to rest, right? And so I rested really well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday I had my grandson. That's not rest, but it's joyful, so it's all right. And then Friday morning, I got a text from Dave that he was not well. And I was like, well, I guess I am speaking this week, right? And the Lord so sweetly said to me, I didn't want you to know until today because I wanted you to rest Monday through Thursday. So I'm going to give you a fast message today. I'm going to download at warp speed. Because normally I spend Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on my message all during the day. I'm listening to messages and worship and worshiping, and I spend a lot of time preparing each message. But this one came fast. So I know he's in it, and I know Dave's message, for some reason that he was going to share today, is meant for next week. Like, the beauty of walking with the Lord is you trust him. When he changes the path that you're not expecting, it doesn't have to throw you off. You can go, oh, I didn't know this was going to happen, but God knew, and it's all part of the plan, you know? So next week, we are entering Passion Week, and I know it's one of Dave's favorite times of the year, Easter. And I'm kind of excited he gets to speak on Palm Sunday, actually. I think it'll be really good for him to open up Passion Week for us. But as we're going into that, I really felt like God wanted us to consider this question today. Why? Why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did he suffer? Why the cross to begin with? Why? Now, don't answer, because we might be tempted to say, to save us from our sin. Did anybody think that when I asked the question? To save us from our sin. Don't raise your hand, it's okay. And that's true. That is true. Some of us might have been tempted to say, so he could take us to heaven with him someday. And I think that's true too. But I want to go deeper today, because I think somehow we've missed the joy of the good news. I think we've missed it, especially if you've been a believer for any amount of time. At the beginning, when you first encounter the good news, you're like, this is amazing! Like, you're crazy about it, right? But as time goes by, somehow we make the cross all about sin or all about heaven. And I want us to go deeper today. So I want to look at four reasons why I think Passion Week happened. Four reasons. But first we're going to go way back to the beginning. Because when we see the Garden of Eden, we see God's original design at work. We see his original plan. This was his intent from the beginning. So I'm going to read several passages from Genesis, and then we're going to talk about them. So the first point is because God has always desired an uninhibited relationship with us. That's the first reason, I think. Why the cross? Why Passion Week? Because God has always desired to have an uninhibited relationship with us. In Genesis 2, 8 and 9 in the International Children's Bible, it says this: "Then the Lord God planted a garden in the east." Can I just say how much I love the word that it uses, the word planted? He didn't just speak a garden into existence. He actually planted a garden. I don't know why. That just touches my heart. I'm not a gardener, so I know the work involved. Maybe that's why it touches me. In a place called Eden, he put the man he had formed in that garden. The Lord had caused every beautiful tree and every tree that was good for food to grow out of the ground. So not only did he plant the garden, he made sure that the trees were both beautiful and tasty fruit, had tasty fruit. How sweet of him, you know? How kind of him. In the middle of the garden, God put the tree that gives life, and he put there the tree that gives knowledge of good and evil. So in the original design, God desired to have an uninhibited relationship with us. But not only that, he created the perfect space for us. Have you ever had someone over your home that you just cherish so much and you go out of your way to make the space just right for when they come? Like you go that extra step. That's what God did. In Genesis 2, 18 and 19, it says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is right for him. From the ground, God formed every wild animal and every bird in the sky. He brought them to the man so the man could name them. Whatever the man called each living thing, that became its name." I love, love, love this picture of God and Adam in the garden that he created. I love it because you can see companionship and partnership and time working together. That was God's original intent, that he would have an uninhibited relationship with man, that they would partner together. So God crafted, can you imagine, crafted a pterodactyl and said, "Hey, Adam, what do you want to name this?" And he came up with some Hebrew word that means pterodactyl, right? And then I can hear God laughing. Like I can hear him laughing. And then he sits down, he goes, "Watch this." And then he creates this weird looking animal with spikes sticking out all over it. And Adam goes, "Ha ha ha, let's name that porcupine." Yeah, that's a good name for that one. Like, I love that picture of Adam and God working in partnership together and how much fun that must have been. I will create it. You get to name it. Oh, my goodness. But then I loved also that the Lord says, everything else he created, he said, "Oh, it's good. It's good. Good. It's good." And then he said, "Wait, it is not good for man to be alone. I will create a helper for him." And then it's interesting that then he creates all the animals and Adam names them. And I can see Adam going, "Yeah, that's not a good helper for me. Porcupine, hilarious, but not a good helper for me." Oh, I love that so much. Then the next passage, "Then the Lord God used the rib from the man to make a woman. Then the Lord brought the woman to the man, and the man said," now, Nikki, can I tell you, I heard Johnny laughing when I read this week. "Now, this is someone." Now, this is more like it. Not the pterodactyl, not the porcupine, but this one. Oh, yeah, baby. Totally. Can't you hear him laughing about that? "Now this is someone whose bones came from my bones. Her body came from my body. I will call her woman because she was taken out of a man." God took the time to create exactly the right partner for man. So a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife. Pause for water. The kids are having so much fun, aren't they? Oh, that makes my heart happy. And the two people will become one body. The man and his wife were naked, but they were not ashamed. I love that God created them in such a way, in the perfect space, where they were naked, uninhibited, and unashamed. There was no shame, there was no fear, and God was with them in the garden that way. Like, that's how it was. That was his original intent. Of course, we know they blew it. Don't throw stones. You would have to. I would have to. But I love that it says in chapter 3, verse 8, then they heard the Lord God walking in the garden. This was during the cool part of the day. Now we're going to pause there, because what we see is this must have been a normal occurrence for God to take a walk with them in the garden in the cool of the day. This must have been what they were used to. Can you imagine that that was God's original design? To take walks with us in the garden, in this perfect paradise that he created? That was his intent. But because they had sinned by eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it says, and the man and his wife hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. So why Passion Week? Because God has always desired an uninhibited relationship with us. Always. From the time you took your first breath, God has desired a relationship with you free from shame and guilt and inhibitions. One of the things I love about children is their total lack of inhibitions. No filter, like we were talking about, right, Bill? Just no filter. This week I was babysitting Oakland, and he had taken his nap, and normally after he finishes nap, he'll go, and I'll say, Grammy's here, and I go over and pick him up and hold him, right? So he started after his nap, 2 hours. That's, you know, that's great. He started, and I go, it's okay, Grammy's here. And I went to take the blanket off, and he went, no, more Banky, please. More Blanky, please. I was like, oh, okay, sorry. He didn't hesitate to tell me what he wanted. Like, some people would have been funky with that, you know? I was like, no, that's good. I'm glad you're communicating what you want. So I put the blanket up, and he put his little head down and smiled, right? Because that's how we were created to be. We were created to live without inhibition. Point number two, the second why, because God is love. Yes, God loves you. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you for 10 million years. I love you. But it's even bigger than that. He's actually made up of love. Oh. 1 John 4:13 through 16 says, we know that we live in God and God lives in us. We know this because God gave us his spirit. That's why I had you talk to your spirit today. Because it's the spirit inside of you. Listen, I could get up here and do the best teaching I could ever do in my lifetime. Without the spirit, it falls flat. Without the spirit, it falls flat. I love to teach. I feel like God's put that gift inside of me. But my teaching is nothing without the Holy Spirit at work in your heart and life and mind. It's nothing. We know this because God gave us his spirit. We have seen that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. That is what we teach. If someone says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then God lives in him and he lives in God. And so we know that God, the love that God has for us, and we trust that love. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. He doesn't just love. He is love. There's no other way for him to be. You see, I think that's why at the beginning of time in Genesis, he had so much love in him because he's made up of love. He needed a new place to put it. So he created earth, and then he created animals and plants and man and woman because he is so constructed of love that it was spilling out of him, and he's like, I gotta find a new outlet for it. I'm gonna make man so I can love on man. I really believe that. Point number three, because Jesus makes oneness with God possible again. You see, the problem is, and we're going to talk about this more on Easter. Really feel like I'm supposed to pound on it for a little while. But if all we can think of when we think of Easter is that God got rid of our sins, it's sin focused. It's not love focused. And we forget the reason behind God getting rid of our sin. Is because he wanted to go back to his original design. Uninhibited relationship. If that doesn't make your heart sing, I don't know what will. Remember the very first time you really fell in love? What made your heart sing was that you were in love? No. What made your heart sing is that you were loved. Somebody saw you. Somebody loved you for you. Somebody didn't need you to change to love you. They just loved you. Well, the best news of all is the greatest lover of all time is in love with you. He's crazy about you. That's why. Because Jesus, going through Passion Week, makes oneness with God possible again. In Ephesians 1, 7 through 10, in the Phillips translation, not mine, there really is a Phillips translation, J.B. Phillips translation. I was like, yeah, people are not going to think that's real. It is real. Look it up. It says, it is through the Son, at the cost of his own blood, that we are redeemed. And I had Ron underline, freely forgiven. You see the oneness in that? Freely forgiven through the full and generous grace which has overflowed into our lives and opened our eyes to the truth. For God had allowed us to know this secret of his plan. And it is this. I love that God tells us the secret right here. Here's the secret. You ever had somebody when you were young? I've got a secret. You're just like dying to know what it is. Well, God says, I've got a secret. Here it is. He purposes in his sovereign will that all human history shall be consummated in Christ. Now, you're an adult. You know what that means. Oneness. That because of Christ, we are able to be restored back to that uninhibited relationship with God. That everything that exists in heaven or earth shall find its perfection and fulfillment in him. God said, listen, this is the way I designed you to function in uninhibited relationship. I am 100% love. There is nothing else but love. Everything that I do is love. Everything that I do is love. Now, I'm going to make it possible for you to understand this fully because of what Jesus does here. That I can find perfection. Hallelujah. Any perfectionist in the room? Frustrated perfectionist because you always mess up. That's me. But in Christ, I am perfect and I am 100% fulfilled. Nothing lacking. Fulfilled. Do you see those words that show oneness? Consummated in Christ, freely forgiven, perfection, fulfillment. The Lamb made it possible for us to be restored to our original design. Oneness with God, no shame, no fear. And the last point, this is a good one too. We'll spend more time on this one on Easter because we thrive in union with God. We thrive when we're at one with God. We thrive. Isaiah 12:3 says, with joy, you will draw water from the wells, plural, wells of salvation. I don't know about you, but I've been a believer a long time. And there are times when I feel like God shows me a new well. And he's like, check that one out. You haven't discovered that one yet. This is another well of salvation you're going to draw from. And you're going to have so much joy in drawing from this well. Oh, look, like it's Easter egg hunt. Oh, look, here's another well of salvation. With joy, we will draw water from the well, water that satisfies, water that quenched the thirst that we don't even understand. Oh, God, I pray that you would return us to the joy of our salvation. Oh, we need it. If I'm sin-focused, it's hard to feel joy. If I'm focused on sin, somehow I look at the cross and I feel guilty because my sin is what made him do that, if I'm sin-focused. My sin made him go through that horrible Passion Week. My sin, I didn't ask him to, but somehow it's my fault because I sinned. And so therefore, I look at the cross and I don't feel joy, I feel shame. If I'm sin-focused, but if I go back a little bit deeper, I understand that the reason for the cross is so that God could say, yeah, we can have that uninhibited relationship I always planned for us to have. Doesn't have to have sin. Barrier between us. Colossians 1, 21 through 23, back to the International Children's Bible, says this: at one time, you were separated from God. You were God's enemies in your minds. Now that phrase really jumped out at me this week. In your minds, because I've heard all my life, sin separates you from God. And I know there is a verse, I think it's Isaiah, that talks about that. So I'm not saying it's not true, but I think once we have Christ inside of us, it's not sin that separates us, it's sin in our minds that separate us. If your kids were ever, my kids when they were young, when they would do something wrong, what would they do? Hide. Not because I was going to love them no matter what. They knew that. It's because something inside of us knows when we mess up and we try to hide it. And so sin, as a believer, sin has the potential in our minds to separate us from God. If we're sin focused. Because the evil deed you did were against God. But now, hello, so everybody say, but now, Christ has made you God's friends again. Oh, I love that word, friends. You better fear God. I have a very healthy awe and respect of God. I don't mean to make light of that, but he is my friend. He's my friend too. Yeah, he's a king. Yeah, he's a creator. He's my friend. He did this by his death while he was in the body that he might bring you into God's presence. Now, I don't know about you when you hear the word presence, but we tend to think of smoke and, you know, awe and I think that's all true, but I don't know. This time reading it in this passage, I felt like God was saying, come hang out with me, kind of presence. Just come be with me. Yeah, joy, 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 joy. He brings you before God as people who are holy with no wrong in you. and nothing that God can judge you guilty of. What? Talk about being restored to original design before the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When they would take walks in the garden together, I think that's the biggest why. I do. I can't explain some of this. I really can't. But I believe it. When God says, I can stand before him with no wrong in me, even though it defies logic, I still believe it. I still count on it. And Christ will do this if you continue to believe. There's that word believe again that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Believe, rely on, put confidence in, not in yourself, not in your works, not in your ability to be good enough. Believe in the good news you heard. Put your faith in the good news. You must continue strong and sure in your faith. You must not be moved away from the hope that good news gave you. That same good news has been told to everyone in the world. I, Paul, help in preaching that good news. So what if going into this Passion Week next week, starting Sunday, what if we go in with this base of understanding that everything that happened, every single thing that happened, was because God desperately longed to restore us back to our original design. Without shame, without guilt, where we took walks in the garden together. No inhibitions. Nothing between. That's good news. That's good news. God, I thank you for the good news. It's still, I study it, and somehow my brain cannot comprehend it still. And my heart longs to accept it, and sometimes I try to find little barriers to keep from accepting it because it seems too good to be true. But God, we as a church family this season, we make an intentional decision that as we celebrate Passion Week, we remember the why. We remember your why. Because you loved us so much that you just longed for us to be restored back to the way you meant for us to be. So remind us often. You know we're made of dust and we forget. So remind us often, I pray, as we go into this Easter season, that you will remind us often of the truth, of the why behind everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm not done yet. I have a 5-minute video I want to share with you from an organization called Hope Force International. I don't know about you, but I've been burdened for Ukraine and the whole situation there. And we have a large Ukraine population in Cleveland. So I feel even more like to identify. But I want to share some good news with you about that. And I'll tell you why it's such good news after we watch it.
This is Joey Stoltzfus. I just returned from Romania. We were there on the ground for 2 weeks, connecting with churches and ministries and organizations, trying to understand how we as Hope Force could jump in and come alongside and empower these churches and ministries and organizations that are already doing incredible work serving the over 500,000 refugees that have come across into the Romanian border. We're excited in many ways that we can be a part of this. So please be praying for us and Hope Force as we look to come alongside, fight for freedom, and love on them in very practical ways as they're just doing an incredible work. George, just tell us a little bit about what you guys have been doing here with Fight for Freedom and kind of what, and as you look ahead, kind of how you see things going on here.
So Fight for Freedom was, and it is a Christian ministry, but before the war, we were taking care of homeless people and people coming from prison. Yeah. When the war started, we had to reorganize everything and we understood the need to help Ukrainians. We've been one of the first organizations to be at the border to receive them, and we started from there, and now, you know, it is what it is. Yeah.
When we got here, there was two police officers. patrolling the area, no government, no nothing, and hundreds of people, thousands of people are pouring in. Within 20 minutes, we didn't have no water, we didn't have no food. So I called George, I said, George, make some Fight for Freedom vests, fill up the bus with water and food and bring it over here.
Guys, we are in the convoy now. This is the queue that never ends for people coming from Ukraine, refugees coming from Ukraine. Going to, and this is our convoy. And we stopped here, we asked the Ukrainian authorities to let us give these people blankets.
We are from housing, transport, food, anything they want. We pack this tent every day with whatever they need, with water and food. And we try to console them and tell them that it's going to be okay. We offer them money if they don't have money for transport, because most people don't have money. They, when the war started, they locked their accounts. So they couldn't take no money out. So most people came with $100 or maybe less. God put on our heart, and I told the government here, because I got meetings with the government every like three times a week. I told them, they asked me, how long can you stay? I said, until the end. Fight for Freedom is going to stay here till the end.
We estimate of touching to Fight for Freedom and the 200 volunteers work, which works 24 hours so far. We estimate, our estimates are up to 40,000 Ukrainians being touched, helped in a way or another by Fight for Freedom. And the gospel really is about, you know, helping the...
Well, we as Hope Force, we love what George and the ministry here does, just a meeting with Vlad, the construction lead.
The whole building, when it's going to be finished, is going to be like 1,600 square meters of floor.
How many people will that be able to house here?
Here, we can accommodate when everything is going to be finished, like about 300.
Wow.
This is George Ignat, the president of Fight for Freedom Ministries from Romania, and I'm here in Ukraine, in Danuitsi, where we have one of our humanitarian convoy truck just arrived. And we came today here to be able to see with our own eyes what is going on here in Ukraine and where are the goods that we send are arriving. So for us it's very important to see this thing. Here young people, volunteers, are unloading the truck. Yes.
So you for house the friend.
Yes guys, so here next to you. This is the warehouse for the unloading. And from here, everything goes to the all regions of Ukraine. I believe this is the right message. It's not us, it's not Fight for Freedom, it's not others that, who are donating. It's purely the goodness of God for Ukraine.
For us as Hope Force, there's no value in us trying to create something new, but coming alongside and supporting a wonderful ministry like this, we look forward to doing that. So be praying for us.
Praise God. Pray for us, guys. Thank you so much for all your support.
Did you get that? They have touched 40,000 Ukrainians with the love of God in practical ways. They are building a refugee center that will house 300 people. So I'm sure the goal is to get them in, house them, and then help them figure out a way to move on to their next place so more can come in. That's what they've been doing in the surrounding countries. So here's the amazing part. You give to Oak River. We take the first 10% of everything you give and give it out to organizations. This month, we're giving to Hope Force International. So you are giving to help the Ukraine refugees. You are doing that. And I just wanted to let you know that it matters. What you're doing matters. And so basically what we do with your giving, we take 10%, but we have four missionaries we support every month. And they're on our website if you need to know what those are. But the fifth one, the last 2%, every month, we just say, God, who do you want us to support this month? And we kind of do it randomly that way. And this month, this definitely came to mind. If you want to look it up, Hope Force International. They're really a cool organization because they don't just go to one crisis. If there's an earthquake somewhere, they find someone locally to partner with there, where the earthquake is. When there were bad tornadoes recently, they went and had boots on the ground to help people in America who were struggling. So they're very sensitive to whatever's happening, and they send teams out to help people. So there's a way to volunteer with them and there's a way to support them financially. So I just want to pray over our offering now. Thank you, God, for the people of Oak River who understand the bigger picture. And they understand that by giving to Oak River, we get a chance to partner with other organizations that are bigger and broader than just our four walls. And I pray a blessing over everyone who gives today, that you will multiply it in sending it out, but you also multiply it in the lives of people who are stepping out in faith to give. So I just pray your blessing over the offering and let it feed lots of people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So next week, Mary Had a Little Lamb by Dave. Looking forward to that. I think he'll keep the same message. If not, hey, we're flexible, right? Have a great week. Thanks for coming today. And I hope that it blessed you. Remember the why. Okay? Remember the why. Love you.